G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to episode 11. I'm saying this for almost the 11th time of Eric to the Diary Room. Eric to the Diary Room is a part of Channel Eric and is me talking about TV, entertainment, music, movies, and a lot more. And I'm finally pleased to report that I managed to grab episode 10 that I recorded last night as I'm recording this off my phone and under the computer in full. So that is absolutely awesome. Now, as I mentioned on the last episode, I have had some problems with the application. Hopefully I've sorted them out. I've now learnt that you have to basically leave the application open on your iPhone and do absolutely nothing else until it compresses and uploads. So we'll see how we go, but it is going to be a real sense of relief when I can finally get episode 11 up there, because as I said, I've recorded it about 6 or 7 times talking about different things. Anywho, this episode is once again coming to you from the mobile diary room, i.e. my car and my place of employment, recording this in mid-September. Anywho, on this episode, I'm going to talk about an interesting subject which affects the way that some of us watch TV. We are going to be talking about spoiler warnings and spoilers in general. My friend Colin from the Ouroboros podcast and also Raw Footage, he had a very interesting discussion on his music podcast a few weeks ago in relation to spoilers, and I've had the same discussions at various times as well. When are spoilers no longer spoilers? And how long do you have to wait before you can spoil something and talk about the plot of something? Now, when it comes to me, what is a spoiler? And a spoiler is usually someone talking about, whether it be a movie, a television show, the result of a sporting fixture or whatever, someone that tells you something that you don't want to know because you haven't watched it yet. Now, sometimes you haven't watched it because at the time the particular show hasn't aired where you are. You know, you're not watching it live or anything like that. At some places it's in your control, you don't want to watch it there and then, you want to watch it later. And then at other times it's circumstances beyond your control. So a simple example of this might have been a few years ago when, for instance, let's say a local football match was played at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was broadcast live on radio at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but because it was the television match of the round, it wasn't on TV until after the news at 6:30 p.m. So if you weren't at the game, or if you weren't listening live on the radio, maybe you were waiting to watch the game on TV, so you didn't want to know who won. So what you'd have to do, you'd have to basically avoid the radio, and then when the news came on, what they used to do, because of course the game was already completed by then, the channel which was having the game featured, for instance Channel 9, they would actually put a little spoiler warning into there. They'd say, if you don't want to know the result of the match that we're showing right after the news, look away now. And so they'd flash the score up on the screen without actually saying anything. Whereas the channels who weren't covering the football, for instance, channels 7 and 10, they didn't care. And so they'd tell you that the mighty Penrith Panthers defeated Manly 4-0. That's a classic example. And so they didn't care about spoiler warnings. Now, we have some games, of course. There's a lot of live sport on TV now compared to the era that I'm sort of talking about, the 80s and 90s. And so it's pretty much accepted that there's a lot of people watching the game live, and if you haven't watched the game live, well, it's your problem sort of thing. But at what point do spoilers become, you know, important? A classic example would have been if I was talking about a local TV show back when I was doing community radio in 1992, 93. Basically, the only people who could hear me were those who were within, say, a 5 kilometre radius of the transmitter. So I didn't have to worry about, you know, what people in other time zones were doing, because they wouldn't be able to hear it. Whereas now, I've got people listening to me tell you this in Australia, I've got people in the US, Canada, and presumably the UK and other parts of the world as well. So obviously we don't all have one time zone. In his dialogue about spoilers, Colin was referencing Doctor Who. Now, Colin's a massive Doctor Who fan, and at the moment as I record this, as part of his music podcast, the Ouroboros podcast, Colin reviews Doctor Who episodes. And what he was saying about spoilers was that one particular producer goes out of his way to spoil key plot points that are coming up by publicity in advance, whether it be on the TV, whether it be in front of the TV guide, or whatever. In England, they've got the advantage where they've got the one time zone. So, to use Colin's example, if you don't want to know about Doctor Who because, you know, you're not home or you're watching something else and you want to watch it later, well, a good thing to do now, and this is a good thing for spoilers in general, if you don't want to know something that is happening live, because there will be people talking about it live on Facebook and Twitter. There are people who do live tweet TV shows, and I have done that. I have done that on occasions. You basically have to avoid parts of Twitter and Facebook. And it really does help if people do use the hashtags that people have been using for the show, so you can actually filter those out, so it makes things a bit easier. But the only problem is there are some people who won't use the hashtags. So to use Colin's example, in the UK, the night the Doctor Who's on, you have to basically avoid Twitter and Facebook, because there will be people out there discussing it. There will be people who deliberately drop spoilers. Their opinion is, oh well, we're watching it live, and if you're not watching it live, that's your problem. But as I said, the UK, or England more specifically, is lucky. It's got the one time zone. Whereas here in Australia, to make things easier for the sake of the mass, in this time of year, September, in the standard time zones, we have 3 separate time zones. We have Eastern Standard Time, which is plus 10 hours GMT UTC. Then we have the Central Standard Time, which is half an hour behind Eastern Time. So Eastern Time basically covers, at this time of year, Queensland, New South Wales, the ACT, Victoria and Tasmania. When it comes to Central Standard Time, which is half an hour behind Sydney, you have South Australia and the Northern Territory. And then when it comes to the Western Standard Time, that's 2 hours behind of the East Coast, and that's Western Australia. Then when it comes to the summer season, it gets a bit more complicated, because Queensland doesn't observe daylight saving. They stay on Eastern summertime. New South Wales, the ACT, Victoria and Tasmania go to Eastern Daylight Saving Time, or Eastern Standard Summer Time. South Australia's observe summer time, but Northern Territory doesn't. So you have Central Daylight Saving Time and Central Standard Time. And then I think at the moment Western Australia aren't observing Daylight Saving, although they have in the past. And so they become 3 hours behind the East Coast. So to use the example of Big Brother, which this show was named after, but I haven't actually spoken about yet, let's take an eviction show as a classic example. When it comes to an eviction show, that is highly spoiler-worthy. And I know for the first two evictions, at least, I was spoiled by my friend Simon. Hi, Simon. When he posted on Facebook about who was evicted, and I was just reading through Facebook. Oh, I know now. Some people would get really upset, me not so much. So when the eviction show starts in Sydney and the East Coast, Brisbane, Sydney, Canberra, Melbourne and Hobart at 6:30 p.m. It's 6 p.m. in Adelaide and Darwin, and it is 4:30 p.m. in Perth. However, the other states aren't showing Big Brother at the exact same time that it's being shown in Eastern Australia. It's being shown at whatever 6:30 local time is. So what will happen if you're not on the East Coast, say voting finishes at 7 p.m. for evictions, Eastern time, well, they'll show a little caption on the screen saying, you know, voting in your time zone is closed, or something similar to that. So if you're not in the East Coast and you are watching things like Twitter or Facebook, it is very easy to get spoiled. So what you'd have to do is basically ignore your social media until you get around to watching it, whether you're watching it at the time that the television network says, or the time that you choose to. Now, of course, the ideal thing to do with a thing like that would be to show the event at the same time, regardless of what's going on around the country, whatever time zone you're in. And with things like sporting events, they tend to do that. So if you have a game of cricket which starts at 11 o'clock in the morning in Sydney in the middle of the summer, well, in Brisbane, which is an hour behind in summertime, they'll show it at 10 a.m. And when it comes to things like sport, they've got no problem with doing that at all. But when it comes to things like Big Brother or other reality TV shows like it, well, obviously they don't. They've got things like news commitments, their other shows that they show at the set time. And so you basically have to make do at your end. I noticed there used to be a big cry over the last few years, especially for people in Western Australia, who'd be like, oh, you know, think about our Western Australians. We haven't watched it. We can't watch it yet. So shut up. We don't want to know what's going on. But in the end, a lot of people just said to them, basically, you have to you have to cope. It's a fact of life when you live so far away from the East Coast and the way that the country and the television is. You just have to live with it, make do, or basically not be involved. But what can happen now, it's funny when you, for instance, you read a hashtag on Twitter, for instance, hashtag BBAU, and you'll see the different waves of people talking about things. You'll see the Eastern Australian wave. Let's use the example of an eviction again. And you'll get the tweets coming up and they'll be saying, oh, you know, I don't want Estelle to go. I don't want Ray to go. Oh, no! Don't let Ray go! Or Angie. Poor Angie, she's hot. Don't let Angie go. And so you've got that initial wave of, you know, pre-eviction tweets. And then when they announced that Ray got evicted, it'd be like, oh no, Ray's gone, poor Ray. And, woohoo, Angie's saved. She can walk around in the underwear for another week. Woohoo, awesome. And then there'd be people, oh, we've still got Estelle. Ah, crap. And so at that point, of course, anyone who isn't on the East Coast would have to avoid those tweets. And then, you know, half an hour later, it'd be Adelaide's turn and Darwin's turn. And then 2 hours later, it'd be Western Australia's turn. So you'd have the three waves of, oh my God, please save Ray, he's awesome, he's so buff. And then you'd have the, oh my God, Ray's gone. And then it'd be, oh man, we have to get rid of Estelle, she's hopeless, oh, can we get rid of B-Rad? And you have all these waves, so if you go back, like I sometimes go back to have a look at that hashtag, you can see what wave these people are in. And then, of course, you've got the wave of people who have recorded it and have watching it at random times. Of course, Big Brother's not the only example of that. There's a lot of other shows where that happens as well. And you will get people who will live tweet various shows, various sporting events, whether they're at the ground or they're watching on TV. And it's funny, you know, when you think about it, many of the people who I actually know on Twitter, as a classic example, I know because we've live tweeted the same event and we've used the hashtag and we've connected in that particular way. The best example for me, Itchy, when it comes to live tweeting sport events, I don't do it that often, but the Bathurst 1000 car race, V8 supercars coming up in October. And social media has really been embraced in V8 supercar land, with many of the teams live tweeting. You'll have the drivers who, obviously, they're not tweeting while they're in the cars, but during the endurance races, for instance, when they've got a co-driver, so they're not driving the entire time, they'll tweet. Also, during the week, they'll have various, you know, tweets from the drivers as they do their public relations things, their testing things, and also, you know, just not being regular humans, the stuff that we all tweet about, which is quite cool. But a couple of years ago, there was a situation where the people on social media really let loose because the what was happening. Now, with the Bathurst 1000, it's an all-day event. It's 1,000 kilometres, and so it takes about six and a half hours to run the actual race itself. So, of course, it's unrealistic to expect a commercial television network to run without commercials for 6.5 hours because there's a car race on. Even if the cars are the side of the tracks and the drivers are moving billboards in themselves, you know, and there's other ways that you can run ads without necessarily going to an ad break. So initially what was happening at the start of the race was that the telecaster would go to an ad. Let's say they'd go for an ad at lap 10, and then you'd come back for the ad and it would be lap 15, and then you come back at lap 15, then you might go to another ad break at lap 25, come back at lap 30, and so there was all these laps of the race that you were missing, and because they were at their commercial breaks, you weren't seeing it, even though the commentators were still commentating, because you've got other markets to consider. What I have been doing over the past few years, when it comes to things like Bathurst, is I've been watching a regional coverage from a regional station, so I don't get the Sydney commercials. Because a lot of the problems with the commercials is it's the same commercials all day. But what was happening in the end, towards the end of the race, when it was starting to get exciting, was that they were effectively, let's say they were going to an ad break at lap 140 out of lap 161. They'd stop their coverage at lap 140, have their commercial break, and then they'd come back at lap 140. But the problem with that was that it was no longer live, and so by the time that the winners recognised the chequered flag at the end of lap 161, in TV terms, they didn't actually cross the line for another half an hour. Which is really, really, really poor form when it comes down to the end of a race like that. It's one of the traditional races that even non-race fans will sit in front of the TV and watch Bathurst here in Australia. And so to have an event which has, for many, many years, been covered live, and then have the event interfered with, there was lots of brouhaha, and a lot of the fans have been speaking out about the amount of ads that are on the coverage, interfering with the coverage and that sort of thing. And there have been changes towards that. So live tweeting a sport is now a very big thing for a lot of people in the various football codes, motor racing, and as I said, with the V8 Supercar fan community, there's a lot of people who jump on board when it comes to that, using the hashtag of hashtag V8SC, short for V8 Supercar. So with things like social media, they are really getting involved in TV shows. To use the example of Big Brother again, they're starting to show tweets on the screen during the show as people react to what's going on. There is a show called Q&A, which is on ABC One on Monday nights here in Australia, which is a panel discussion show where your tweets are encouraged and they're shown along the bottom of the screen. But it makes me wonder how far we're going to go in relation to that sort of thing, and spoilers as well. At what period is a spoiler no longer a spoiler? Now, I can understand live stuff where you don't want to get spoiled, but when it comes down to, for instance, you go and watch a movie that you've been waiting to see for a while, and there's a classic scene in The Simpsons where all these people are waiting to go into a movie, and Homer comes out and reveals the ending to everyone waiting in line to see the movie. Now, that's not cool. But at what time, at what period, do you say, oh, it's okay to spoil the ending? Or an important plot point. It's not always the ending. to mention my friend Colin again from the Ouroboros podcast and Raw Footage. What he does, because what he does, he goes to movies that are out in the cinema and he'll watch them, and then he'll come out and he'll do a recording as soon as possible afterwards where he talks about the movie and his initial reactions. He calls it a Stream of Consciousness podcast. And so he's very wary of things like spoilers, where he'll say, if you want to watch this movie, avoid this section. And he actually grades his spoilers according to how important they are, green, yellow, or red. And with his enhanced feed on the podcast, it's actually possible to avoid, for instance, his red spoiler sections just by skipping ahead. And with a new movie, you can understand it. But at what point, and I'll be interested to find this out of you, at what point do you no longer need spoiler warnings? You know, is it a year from coming out of the cinema? Is it a year from when it comes out on DVD? You know, is it ever cool to give away the end of a movie or the end of a TV show? Especially considering the way things are with worldwide TV at the moment. We all don't get to watch things the same time as the US or the UK, here in Australia especially. But having said that, things are improving. They have realised, the television networks, that there are things like BitTorrent around. And so what they will do is they will rush the episodes over. So there's A, less chance of being spoiled, and less chance of you going over to channel BitTorrent and watching it there rather than watching it on their network. Because that's what it's all about. They want your eyes on their network for their ratings, to watch their ads. That's pretty much what it's about. But yeah, I'd be interested to know at what point. It doesn't depend on the spoiler itself. At what point does it become no longer an issue? And if I'm talking about a movie like I have been on several episodes of this podcast, I'm careful, because maybe you might want to watch the movie that I've spoken about. So I'll give you a brief synopsis of what the movie's basically about, whereas when it comes to older movies like Terry Frost covers in Paleo Cinema, you know, if you're watching a movie from the 1950s based on a podcast review from Terry, he specialises in older movies older than 20 years old. You should expect that there might be a spoiler in there. So it's a very interesting topic. Let me know what you think. Do you live tweet TV shows? Do you discuss TV live online? I know some shows have forums and that sort of stuff, and other people talk about it on Facebook and Twitter. When it comes down to it, I actually have not, speaking of Big Brother again, I have actually not discussed Big Brother that greatly on TV. Because a lot of the times when I'm watching it, the show's already happened. Like, for instance, tonight, you've got the second intruder. This will give you a sub timeline of when it's actually recorded. The second intruder is going into the house tonight, with the show starting at 7 p.m. However, I won't be home until midnight, roughly, if not a bit later. So I won't be taking part in the live tweeting. And I don't think that there's actually much point in live tweeting Big Brother, because I know there's a lot of people who don't like it. There's a lot of people who sort of like it, but they don't want to admit that they like it. And then there's the hardcore fans. I think that things like Twitter and Facebook have added a lot to reality TV, being able to discuss it. I know when I was watching The Amazing Race Australia, I was very careful not to actively look up the hashtag or indeed the show's website, because I was watching them well after they actually appeared on TV, and in that case I did not want to be spoiled. And so the you know, the website was full, would have been full of spoilers, because it's talking about what's currently happening, whereas I was weeks behind at my own choice. And if I had have found out something that I didn't want to know, well, in some ways that's my own fault, because I chose not to watch it live. And I chose to watch several episodes in a row. But I'd be curious to find out what you actually think of it. If you would like to leave a comment on the Shauno notes, you can irktothediaryroom.com. You can also now subscribe to the show via iTunes. You can also find the show on Stitcher Radio. Leave a comment on the Shauno notes. You can interact with me on the social networks, and you can also send me an email, irkpod@gmail.com. So hopefully this episode has worked. I'm going to close up the episode with a excellent song from a band of mine who I know really well, and I love listening to their music. This is Domino with Crusader, and I'll be back next time. No podcasts and no Pepsi make Irk go something something. I've been Irk, you've been wonderful. Good night, Interweb.